morning. Scotty here for the Magic Word, and it's day two, and we're standing in the hallway over here with Doug Kahn and Scott Robinson. Hey, guys.
Hey.
This is like Back to the Future for us, right?
Kind of.
And we're going like, me and Scott, we met here, right?
No.
We
met in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah. We just used to like hang around.
Yeah.
But it must have been cold there, too, I guess, when you met. That's what,
Kings Island.
I was working Kings Island, and he was following me around, being a groupie.
I was.
So that's where you learned your magic. So Scott Robinson's your mentor, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, I won't say that his past didn't influence mine. Yeah, well, Matrix work.
Yeah.
Hey.
So let me ask you how your workshop went last night from your point of view.
I thought it went well. You know, it's a big crowd for small stuff.
Isn't it?
But I thought it went really well.
Yeah, with the videos and everything, you had nice screens, so that way they have nice video work so they can see.
As a viewer, I'll say yes. I think their facilities here are great. You know, the screens are awesome. The camera work's good. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Good. Well, there you go from the audience.
A good time. There you go. That's what
material,
matters, right?
The material was wonderful, so you can't go wrong with that. Yeah.
You didn't teach a thing about with the cards and the card through the dollar bill.
I did not teach that. I did not teach severance pay, but I did teach a couple versions of the Willy Wonka card trick, which I thought went over really well for such a big room.
I learned something.
What'd you learn?
The gaff version of that trick, which I had not looked at before, and it's a winner.
And then you contributed also the coin trick, which is kind of cool. For this year, they've got an interesting program for those of you who are not attending or not going to be getting a copy of this, but they got a very cool program that's spiral bound, and it's a small kind of a handbook, and it's got a few tricks in there, including one from Scott Robinson.
Yeah, it's a little quick coin transposition that you can do impromptu with borrowing the coin, so... It's a cool little trick called Loose Change. It's a version of a Steve Dushek trick that used the gimmick coin, and it eliminates the gimmick. So. Mm-hmm.
Vanishing Ink. You can see it there.
It is on Vanishing Ink.
Get the plugs in, right?
That's right. Now, have you guys attended this convention very often in the past?
It's been 20 years for me, but 20 years ago, I was here every year for years and years.
Yeah.
This is my first Magi Fest.
Are you kidding, me?
I never came to Magi Fest.
Oh, wow.
My first one and my coldest one.
And you're kind of an East Coast guy. You've got to be used to cold weather, though.
Not in Charlotte.
I haven't seen snow in 20 years in New Orleans.
Yeah, we get a little bit in Charlotte, but not... Gosh,
you don't? I thought... Because I know Atlanta kind of... You're in the same latitude about with Atlanta.
We are. No, we're north of them.
Okay, well, I think you... But I guess because of the Atlantic breeze or something,
we get a dusting. It's not bad. That's why Doug should move to Charlotte. Yeah, don't have to worry
about
it.
That's at worst, huh?
There you go.
So we were talking about busking a little bit just before I switch this on.
Right.
And that both of you have done your share of busking.
I've done my share, I'm going to go piss off the dealers right now and pay them all in ones. I've got a pocket full of them. I'm sure they'll be happy to...
Stripper ones.
Yeah
those sweating hottie ones.
I'm going to make it rain in the dealer's room.
Okay. And what do you find is the most difficult part of busking?
Nowadays, it's the popularity of magic busking. Like in New Orleans, we have 12 magicians, literally a dozen guys working on any given day. And that's just the magic, you know. So you can add that... Or multiply that times 10, and then you have the number of acts on the street. So magic's very popular, busking, in New Orleans in particular.
You have to pay a permit in New Orleans?
Not at this time. I'd love to see a permit system come into play to weed out some of the chaff.
Yeah.
Is that the right? Yeah.
Well, how many, one of those guys, living statues type of, those must be on every corner, too.
Yeah. No comment. I think I might be... I don't want to slander anyone, so I'll take the fifth.
I've done no busking.
You haven't? I think
you did atmosphere performance.
I worked theme parks and did walk around and atmosphere performing there. Mm-hmm. Very different, you know.
Well,
I was paid to be there. I didn't have to. There wasn't a cold.
But drawing a crowd and did you work the like atmosphere?
I did both. I did atmosphere and I did a stand up show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. At Carowinds, I was all
atmosphere. So just history.
Yeah.
I worked at Carowinds,
right?
And then which is in North Carolina,
which is a theme park
which owned by this was when
Sister
we were in our 20s.
Kings Island and
then
Cincinnati.
I went to Kings Island, moved to Kings Island, worked that park, met Doug.
Yeah, right.
Doug left Cincinnati, went
after
to Charlotte.
After auditioning at Kings Island. Yeah.
Went to Charlotte and ended up working at Carowinds, where I used to work.
Right.
So we kind of followed each other. And then I moved back to Charlotte and walk into the local magic shop, and there's Doug Kahn, who I hadn't seen in years.
Barucks, so. Boy, time flies.
Yeah, crazy.
That's funny. You know, it seems that this convention with is going in a little bit different direction and trying to hit a different audience, you know, make sure that you continue to have conventions into the future with Andy Gladwin and with Joshua Jay, you know, being young guys, having good contacts. Seems like that I like to see the young people who are here. It seems like that it's not a lot of retirees who are here.
Yeah, well, they're doing great in supporting that with the scholarship program and, you know, they have youth events. And, you know, Josh knows, and Andy as well, what it's like to be a young guy. Mm-hmm. And if those young guys are not around, we're not going to have a future like, you know, to enjoy events like this.
Well, the fact that they know, and they know what they like, and so they can, you know, form a convention around what they like, because other guys who are their age also like
right.
And I think that's the key. I run a convention, and kind of the key to get all demographics is knowing, getting the new acts. I mean, if you look at the guys that they've booked, there's a really good diversity of older established talent and younger hip, you know, kind of the hip YouTube talent. And I think that's, they've done a great job. I can't believe how good the talent is here.
Yeah, it really is. And each day it seems like they keep opening another page of the book with even, you know, new talent, someone else. Like, I saw who else coming, but I did hear there's going to be some sort of a secret silent partner who is supposed to be showing up.
I heard that, too.
Yeah, we don't know who it is yet.
We're not supposed to.
Okay.
I haven't heard any of that, so that's all
exciting. By the time this comes out, this will be tomorrow. So those who are listening, will it be here today?
I don't know.
Oh, you just
I don't know when.
Coming.
Secret stuff.
That should be kind of fun. That's always good. Well, good. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Let me just ask you one last thing, too, if I haven't in the past talked to you on the Magic Word, and that is, since this is called a Magic Word podcast,
right?
What is your magic word? Not necessarily like abracadabra. It could be something which is your theme, your credo of life or something.
Wow.
Oh, mine's honesty.
Honesty.
Yeah, and my magic, I run a group in Charlotte that we've been meeting for 14 years called the Slight Club. We meet every week, and the point of that group is to be honest with each other with feedback. It's not about stroking egos or building egos.
Sure.
It's honesty, and I that's kind of my magic word is all through life.
Shooting straight.
Yeah, shooting straight. There you go.
That's good.
Well, I'll share my six-word theory, which I think has been popularized. But be nice, be interesting, and be amazing. I think you'll go far.
The three Bs.
The three Bs.
I like that. That sounds great. Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it again. So for the magic word, this is Scotty out. And so, we have just finished the first of TED Talks, which were kind of a new little twist for the Magi Fest, and I'm fortunate enough to get two guys together that I've been wanting to chat with, Jeff Hostetter. Hi there, Jeff.
Hi there.
Who was the organizer and head of this for 29 years, is that
with
right?
With the Redcoats, yes.
With the Redcoats, and organizing this. And then his successor, Ron Spangler. Hey, Ron.
Hello.
And so you handled it for like about a year as far as the being the chief organizer.
Yeah, I was on the committee for about 15 years and then kind of took over for Jeff.
And how many years actually has this run?
82.
82 years. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of other people before you, obviously.
Well, there are two directors.
Okay.
Each one had about 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
20
right.
years, and then I had 30. So, yeah, it's three directors.
And it kind of seemed that at the end, whenever that you had... Tell me more about what happened towards the end.
Well, I think, you know, I was thinking about this. Magic Fest has always been a family reunion. You know, I really feel like that. You see the same people you're here. And as with families, you get to a time where the next generation has to kind of pick it up and carry on the family reunion. I think we were just at that time.
And the thing that needs to be made very clear, it was not a financial thing.
Correct.
We didn't shut down because we're out of business.
Yep.
We saw new horizons, and some of us had moved. I had moved to Indiana, Mindy went to Florida, and John's up in Cleveland. And so just looking at the whole field, it looked like it was time to shut it down while we're healthy. And that's kind of how we decided.
Yeah, I think so.
And you were one of the youngest people who was...
I was the youngest in the group for a while, and then we brought on one last year, a little bit younger, but... and that's another thing. Like, again, it's like the family. Eventually, the next generation kind of has to jump in.
Yeah. Well, you made a good point, both of you, about saying that this is a family convention. It certainly is, because that's something in which that parents bring their children and kids grow up, you know, here, and we've had a lot of good magicians who have gone on to be professional, like Josh Jake. You know,
Josh is one of our kids. Right. Well, Paul Gertner and some of the big names. Johnny East Palmer grew up at the Magi Fest.
Yeah.
And a lot of names like that. And the thing is, the families would come back every year.
Yeah.
And it became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told my grandchildren, we're not going to do it anymore. And my granddaughters, oh, that can't be. That just can't be, you know. Cause
yeah.
They,
yeah.
And your daughter.
My kids grew up with it. Oh, sure. Babies.
Yeah, I remember seeing your kids all the time.
Kids,
yeah.
Too,
and you had people like, oh, we want to see your kids again. And they're growing. And, oh, they're in high school already. You know, that's the kind of family this is.
And then we had been talking with Joshua Jay for a number of years to help us with talent management, getting good acts from abroad.
He gives good tips and help us.
Good
help
contacts.
Us, yeah, help us book some people.
And he knew talent.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they started creating a new idea, we didn't think it was possible to put this together in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we'd have to skip 2013.
Right.
And here they are. They pulled out all the stops, and Ron and I both agree we've got a really good team in place of those two guys.
Now, you had a team before of the Redcoats that had about how many people? I mean, it was the local
nine.
Club.
Nine of us.
Yeah.
Nine? Oh, I thought there were more than that.
That's
it seemed like you guys were every place. Exactly. and so how many people are on Josh and Andy's?
Well, there's two on the main team. There's a silent partner, and then they have like four or five helpers.
I keep hearing a silent partner who's supposed to be showing up, I think, sometimes.
I don't know if the silent partner is going to be exposed, but a good person who really cared about the Fest.
Yeah.
And this person grew up in the Fest and said, can't die.
And when he wanted to get involved, we just said he's got the same spirit.
Yeah.
And Josh, too, and Andy have that same spirit that we're proud to see them pick it up. You know, that we can go, wow, this is a great thing.
It's wonderful.
Well, again, it always has been something that's been family-oriented, and it's been, you know, some top talent and very clean and a lot of fun, certainly. And it's always been the one that kicks off the convention year with, you know, people coming from all over. I mean, I don't know that the rest of the world recognizes really the hotbed of magic activity in Ohio. I don't think
that's
people
right.
would recognize that necessarily, but it is.
I think so.
Yeah.
And some of the clubs aren't as active as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And what we tried to do with the Magic Fest, and I'm sure Josh is doing it, is to reach out to the rings and say, this is what's happening. Come on. And that wasn't
try
so
to rejuvenate.
That wasn't so successful.
Yeah.
Because some of the rings are aging and SAM.
Right.
And so having kids here, the thing I really think is important is somebody gave a scholarship to bring kids and their parent to come to this convention.
50 of them, is that right?
No, not that many.
How many was
I don't know. I don't know. I've heard different numbers.
I think it's 20.
But,
okay.
It's 50.
It's a great idea.
It's a wonderful idea. Two or three of them will stick, and they'll be back.
Exactly. Now, as I understand that they didn't have to do anything more than complete just a little essay or something.
That's,
that's what I understand,
Yeah, it wasn't like you had to perform or send a video. It's basically show your interest in why you wanted to attend the convention. And so if they want to do that next year, as I understand, the stipend is available, I think, for the next few years?
I don't know the answer.
I don't know,
Okay, I'll ask Josh about that, but I thought I'd heard that is something for other youth who might be wanting to attend.
Well, I think Josh, again, carries on the spirit because he grew up here. And, you know, I think about this was something he came to with his dad and spent a weekend together with his dad.
That's right.
So it's very special to him, and I think he wants to, he understands where he came from and wants to.
It's that legacy plus kind of an homage to his father. You know, Jay was a great guy.
Right.
Yeah, and everybody misses him.
And my feeling is that getting older, as I am, I like to leave something healthy instead of letting it wear out.
Yeah.
And here comes these young bucks. And Josh is worldly wise. He's been around the world. He's lectured everywhere.
Yeah.
And he reads and he's published books. And, and he's a businessman.
Exactly.
So they don't want to see this thing go back financially.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to invest what they think is current and important.
Oh, he hasn't run into this recklessly by any means.
That's what I mean.
This has been with a very business-oriented
precision.
Precision.
And they'll make some mistakes the first year or two or three. Mm-hmm. We've made them every year.
One thing he was telling me when we were doing a podcast earlier was that he was concerned about how many people might show up because that after the convention last time, you guys said, okay, you knew right away, like within your first feedback meeting, I guess, that you were no longer going to continue.
Right.
And so he sent back money to people who had already pre-registered, and he was thinking, I wish they hadn't done that because now I got to start all over.
Well, we felt it fair to let people have their money and not be wondering, well, you know, am I going to get my money back?
What product did they buy?
Good
point.
And so we let them decide and say, hey, I'll decide to sign up for that or I won't.
Yeah.
But I heard from four at least here, when they got their check back, they was really sad.
Yeah.
Because they knew that was the end.
Yeah, but then when the announcement came out, they were the first to register.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, and you can see it. I would guess at least 50 people I know personally, old-timers, who are here supporting this.
Yes.
So it's My heart is glad.
And, you know, I was wondering about that, Jeff, that when we just heard some of these talks, or 20-minute TED Talk type of things, that were more on philosophy and business and marketing, and I'm thinking about, you know, how many people who are seasoned citizens are going to go out and develop content like Justin Flom was talking about for YouTube videos. You know, but that's the advantage, I think, of those TED Talks is you can, if you're not interested in one, listen to the next one. You know, like Eric was talking about angles of visibility, you know, and those kinds of things. Well, that affects other people. Yeah. And so, yeah, there might be something else that you like.
I want to know what the youngsters are thinking.
Yes,
I mean,
would be
this, this Flom guy, he's a genius at creating fun videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it means for his business, but...
Well, he was saying he doesn't get a lot of shows, but if he gets one or two, you know, then it could be worth it, and that leads to something else. Got on Ellen's show, and everything else.
Yeah, how many of us have been on Ellen?
Well, there's... And then there's...
Yeah. So, personally, I am pleased so far. There are a few things that I will comment about to them to be helpful. And
Josh
said, sure, it would be great. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, last year that you had gone out really with a bang, you know, at the end of saying, and I think you'd made the right decision in kind of looking around, everybody said, hey, we've had a good time, but I think it is time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember seeing some aged performers who are professionals who their last performances were not really up to stuff, is what I remember in their youth, you know, being, and they should have stopped some time ago, and it was kind of difficult, I'm sure, for them to give it up. So you kind of, you know, made the right decision, and then by these guys taking it in another direction, and by not having the red coats, that kind of said something also. Saying, hey, we're going to take our thing and do it this way.
Right. And, you know. And they're using one or two of ours as volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hang around.
Yeah.
I chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. Well, one last thing, and only because that the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. What is your magic word? Wouldn't be necessarily abracadabra or something. You know, something a credo, something you live by.
No, my magic word has to be acceptance.
Acceptance.
Accept your audience, accept new people right where they are. No judgment.
No judgment.
No.
Learn,
and you may disagree with them a lot, but accept.
Philosophically, religiously, whatever.
We're politically at two different places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We love each other dearly.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
It's acceptance.
We can argue, and it's...
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, I know he's wrong.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
Ron?
Magic word. You know, without abracadabra, just fun. And I think, to me, you know... I can speak for myself, and I know there's other people, and we've talked about this. There's guys that come with stories that have been laid off from their job, or they're having a really tough time. You know, we hear all these stories over the years of guys that just had a rough year, and they come here, and it's just like they're able to put that aside for the weekend. And so
it's fun. A vacation for the mind
point.
Also.
And I think that's... Yeah.
Even in troubled times.
Yep.
Yep. Well, great. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Jeff Hostetler, and also Ron Spangler. And so for now, that's Scotty out. Well, Scott Wells here again with The Magic Word, and we just finished an evening show that was with the, I started to say the Evasons. It seemed like a two-person mind-reading routine with the Aronsons, actually. Simon Aronson, of course, of the Aronson stack, you're familiar with, as well as his wife, Jenny. The other thing that's going on is Danny D'Ortiz. Well, Danny's busy, so then the two groups switch. Now, one of the things that you guys have done is out there on Facebook that I had put kind of a poll to see who you'd like to hear in a chat here for the podcast, and the name that seemed to have come up the highest of someone that you want to make sure that we talk to is Eric Jones, and I've got Eric with me right now. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Hey, Scott, how are you? Hey, guys, how are you?
And I appreciate you having a few moments to sit down, because I know you've been busy and pulling in different directions over here and everything, but this afternoon that you were doing one of the TED Talks, which is something kind of new to conventions in general, but particularly you know, here with the Magi Fest. So,
yeah, you know, I stepped outside of my comfort zone to step away from my traditional lecture, you know, trick explanation, to talk a little bit more about theory. The TED-style lecture that I gave today was only 15 minutes, but it was about a subject that I think everyone should be concentrating on, and it's a concept that I have called spectatorial triangulation, or take a step back. It's a way of using geometry in the real world, and apply it to magic, finding ways to keep you from flashing, essentially. And I gave that talk a little earlier today. Again, it was just 15 minutes. And then a little bit later on in the afternoon, Justin Flom and Justin Wellman and a few other people got together and did a short talk for the kids. Taught a couple of tricks, talked about magic in general, and it was a great time. The kids asked a lot of great questions. And then later on tonight, I'll be giving a bit of a workshop slash session at the Impromptu Theater here at Magi Fest, and that should be a blast as well.
And you can have a workshop like a paper thing on Sunday.
And Sunday, it's going to be me and Kainoa Harbottle and Garrett Thomas. We'll be doing a coin workshop limited to 20 people. We're almost sold out. I think we need one, maybe two more people, and that should be pretty good. It's going to be slight intensive, literally.
Wow. Now, how many kids actually showed up? I think it's kind of neat. First of all, they had a special activity, and then you guys, they had people like you, you know, who were willing to share. How many people?
Well, there were about 150 people all together, but I think we had about, with the parents and the grandparents, it was about 150, but I think we had about 60 or 65 kids all together.
Now, as to the angle of visibility that you were talking about, is that something that you had pulled from your lecture, or is that something you've been thinking about, or you've been, how did you come up with the idea of talking about that for your TED Talk?
What I did is I wrote an essay. Back when I started lecturing, everything that I wanted to communicate to my audiences or at the lecture, I wrote down an essay form so that I could try to use as few words as possible to most concisely describe the concepts I was trying to tell people about. And this is one of the essays that I never did anything with. So I revisited it and decided to share it with the guys at TED. I mean, well, not TED.
Yeah. That's right. Fest. That's okay. Sometimes they'll have these brain parts.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So it was a great time. It was well received, I think.
Without spending 20 minutes to talk about that, can you just talk briefly about the angle where you're talking about, the three different things? I think it was interesting what you called them also. You know?
What I did is I took the three major angles, you know, acute, obtuse, right angles, and I related them to real-world objects. Like an acute angle, I consider that to be safe or protective objects, like, you know, like a knife or something like that.
Because the angle's kind of sharp-like.
Exactly, because it's, you know, below 90 degrees. Right angles are the most common, you know, so like tabletops, doors, windows, and I think of that as accessibility. And then I take the obtuse angles, you know, like rooftops and boomerangs, I call those big and wide. And when you relay those to being out in the real world, when you look at your performers, your performing situation, if you have spectators in front of you, depending on how close you are to your spectators and how far they are to your left and your right, you create an angle. So if you take your performance space, the area that you're going to be performing, and make that the base, and then look to the far left, to the far right of you, and see how far your spectators are, it creates an angle. An obtuse angle is pretty much bad, and you're not able to use a lot of angle-sensitive material. A right angle is, of course, optimal, and the really cool, the very safe way would be to use the, just for a few people, using an acute angle. And that's the basic concept, but I went into a lot more detail.
Yeah, and that applies not only for close-up, but for stage, and
For any performing style where you have to do something that could be considered angle-sensitive for loading or for ditching.
I thought that it was interesting also that, again, with the TED Talks being what they are, because they are short, they're to the point, and then, you know, another person will talk then next, that there were a variety of things. So if somebody in the group doesn't care about one thing, that they might about the next. Yeah. But they all kind of tie in a little bit, because I thought that towards the end, what was the gentleman's name, Chang? Or
Tony Chang.
Tony Chang. Because he actually brought out like a screwdriver, and he was saying, you know, think about this, because he was, since we had a camera there, and he was pointing this towards the camera, saying, you know, as this screwdriver will get shorter, that's because you're just seeing the point of it, you know. So think of that as your line of sight kind of a thing.
Exactly.
And so he had that on the top of the deck of cards, so he had like a right angle on the top of the deck. You know, think about where your audience view is, where your eyes, you know, what is your point of view. So I thought it kind of tied in, you know, with his point, literally, you know, towards yours, you know, there than earlier. You have been traveling around doing a lot of conventions and everything?
I'm getting away from doing conventions as much, but I have still been doing a few. I was lucky enough to perform on the same bill with Michael Lamar and Lu Chen in China back in December. Did a few shows out in there. Here at Magi Fest, I'll be in Blackpool next month. And the biggest thing that I'm doing in 2013 is going to be a Safari that's taking place in South Africa. Right. You can check that out at secretsinafrica.com. It's going to be
you and Banachek.
Me, Banachek, and Boris Wild. It's got a high price tag, but you're going to get a lot for your money.
A safari. You actually get to go on a safari.
Exactly.
And be going different places each day.
Yeah, every day is going to be something
I'm envisioning
different.
You kind of being in a tent, you know, with a, around a campfire, and you're showing, you know, someone with some cards.
Exactly. Running away from lions. And
you can hear the hyenas in the background.
Exactly.
You know, literally, because apparently the Craig Mitchell, who's putting this all together, you know, has all the contacts. And he said when people come, he's always got friends, and he takes them out on a safari. And he said, well, I might as well start to put this together with
put
magic.
Together as a magic invention.
Combine the whole thing. So I really hope that that turns out. But, you know, yeah, you guys should check that out. That should be just an off-the-hook kind of a convention. I think
it's going to be awesome.
Different. And speaking of something different, you know, we have been going in a different direction that Josh has taken us. They've known Josh for a long time.
I have,
Have you attended this convention in the past?
I have. You know, when the Redcoats and Jep Hostetler, who did an awesome job of running this convention, were doing things, I noticed that everything ran smoothly, but I kind of like the direction that Josh and Andy and the new team are taking this. You know, we've got a lot of people here. It's over 500 people, magicians, here for the convention. We've got a great dealer's room. We've got a great performance space. I know that the Aronsons and Danny D'Ortiz are setting up to do another show, so they're working hard for us tonight. This is just a great convention. A lot of great sessioning going on. It'll be going on until 4, maybe 5 o'clock in the morning.
Until dawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Until the next snowfall tomorrow.
Exactly. So it's just an awesome, awesome time.
Let me ask you, without putting words in your mouth, then, what is it that, what is the direction you think that Josh is taking this?
Josh wants to,
I know
they want to make it more TED style. They want to make people better magicians, which is something that you've said yourself. They definitely want to bring the quality of magic up. They're pulling people who typically don't go to magic conventions, as a matter of fact. Like I'm watching right now, my friend Joel Gibbons walking by, who never attends conventions.
No.
And he's here just hanging out in the lobby just to support Josh, Andy. You've got Justin Willman, you know, who's a celebrity in our, and not only in our community, but he's a celebrity in the real world, who's attending a magic convention that he wouldn't come to anyway.
I saw Gene Anderson. He's just
Gene, So this is phenomenal. It's drawing the right people, and I'm hoping
young
this
and
keeps
old
up.
Alike.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And that's what I like about it is that it, with this direction, that everybody seems to want to see where is the next direction of the magic convention. We're kind of in a state of flux, you know, that the old way is going away, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, as some of the old, and as long as they follow the old formula, I think that they're going to die off. They have to change. And so, you know, Josh has been brought up here with the Magi Fest, certainly. And this is a family type of a convention. He wants to keep it as that.
It
and I like
so
the idea, like what you were doing, you know, with the youth in today and everything. And so he really wants to keep the youth, but not to have the Redcoats and a lot of other things, you know, that perhaps they've had in the past, but to try to have something go in a different direction. But what I think is kind of cool is how that you've got all the different people, young and old alike, who are sharing, you know, up and down the hallway. I mean, there are sessions going on. It's not just a bunch of old guys here or young guys over there, but it's intermixed, and the young guys are respectful and listening and learning from the older guys, and vice versa. The older guys saying, hey, I like what the younger guys are doing, you know, and I want to learn some of that stuff, you know.
Exactly,
So I like it from that standpoint. And so it does sound like, you know, you've got a lot of stuff that's kind of lined up over there. Any new stuff or new projects you're working on? Or?
Nothing that I can talk about at the moment. Because I do have a few things that are coming out later on in the year, including this really cool coin bend that you should keep your eye out for in 2014. But aside from that, I really can't talk about much.
Are you doing a thing with Penguin?
I did an online lecture with them last year.
Okay.
That's
still
apparently
available.
It's available and still selling pretty well, apparently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's awesome.
That seemed to be kind of an interesting thing where people can...
It's a great format.
It is a great format. We're particularly those who might be in, you know, in the outlying areas and really can't get to conventions or kind of keep them with, you know, going to a lecture or something. They can't attend a lecture. They can pay to get, you know, download that.
And they're seeing some of the world's best magicians giving a 2-3 hour lecture, learning all the stuff they would if they were able to attend a lecture live. And for a very small fee, they're able to, you know, get thousands of dollars worth of magic for almost nothing.
And also, isn't it true that if you sign on during that live lecture while they're taping it, that you can ask questions, kind of an online
chat?
You can
ask questions. Whoever's the moderator is going to be monitoring what questions are coming into the chat room, and then he asks those live, so you have an opportunity to interact while the taping is taking place.
Yeah.
So that's also a great thing.
Well, let me ask you then, Eric, as we kind of start to wrap up over here about your future. We talked about some of the stuff this year, you got some other projects, and that you're working less conventions, you're going to be doing some more lectures. I'm going to be working with you hopefully in the future to do some lectures around the country. But beyond that, you know, what is your, you know, as a businessman, you have to have a, you know, a long-term plan, a 5-year, 10-year plan.
Yeah.
I mean, can you share, you know, what is it
that
you would...
My 10-year plan is to, I'll still be performing, but I won't be performing as much because it's my goal to have my own entertainment business. I want to be able to hire out clowns, comedians, you know, rent out bounce castles and all of that stuff, and just have that from one centrally located area. That way I don't have to travel as much because I fly way too much. Last year, just U.S. Airways flew well over 125,000 miles. So it's just way, way too much.
Yeah.
You know, I'm rarely home, and I like to be able to really start a family.
You're not married.
I'm recently single because I travel so much. But, you know, I'd love to be able to settle down, enjoy a family, and just work from one centrally located area.
You know, before I came here this evening, I really did want to spend a little bit of time chatting with you on this, and I thank you for your time.
Oh, no problem.
You know, but I had was thinking about Micah Marr. People, you know, the professor had passed on to Micah Marr that he's, you know, you're the new professor, and that you seem to be the person who is taking, you know, the next Micah Marr. But I will say this. You're not the next Micah Marr. Next Micah Marr, you're the first Eric Jones.
That's awesome. Thank you for that.
You're somebody who cannot be duplicated, you know.
You know, so. It's always been my goal to be the best student of magic that I can be. You know, I had some very good mentors who each taught me something different one Saturday afternoon at a time at the Magic Shop in Richmond, Virginia. And it's always been my goal to be as liberal with my sharing of magic as I can be, and just as the people who, you know, taught me everything I know were liberal with their teaching. So anything I can do, if, you know, like and I'll be in the lobby just talking magic until the sun comes up, literally.
You're so
just
accessible.
Sharing as much. Yeah, I try to be. Is because, you know, it's all about sharing. She said it's magically delicious. All good for her. But, you know, that's exactly what it's all about. It's about a brotherhood. It's a fellowship. And a lot of people forget that. They make it about ego and about here's what I can do instead of sharing. And I try to get away from that as often as possible.
And that's something that a magician can fall into, particularly, I think, a young magician
Yeah.
who feels like if they know a couple of cool things that other people don't know. It's like, hey, I'm cool, you're a fool, I'm better than you kind of a thing, you know.
Exactly.
But that's what's just very cool about you, that you're very, you know, accessible and nice, you know. Danny Garcia, another guy, you know, just came, just a regular walk-up guy. And the reason I say that is because that people who are first-time convention goers or those who got all of your DVDs and then they see us, like, they have, you know, they're afraid to ask for your autograph almost.
Yeah.
I think it's important. That's why I like, you know, to do these kinds of things like chats, like our talk show and the Magic Word here, too, that gives people kind of an insight to let people know more about you, to say, hey, he is a regular guy. I know something about him. I mean, and he doesn't mind if I come up and say hi and ask questions or whatever. So.
Oh, no, I'm the kind of guy, I encourage people to just come up and hang out with me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one of these guys who's in all the cliques, you know, like certain magicians hang out with certain magicians. I get in the middle of anything, and I just like to hang out. And, you know, I've always been the kind of person that felt like every person, not just magicians, but everyone has a lesson to teach me. And it's just about whether or not I'm going to be receptive enough to listen to what they have to teach. So I've got people who've been in magic for 3 days who've taught me something that I can use on a daily basis, whether it's in life or in magic. So I don't turn my back on anything or anyone.
So what's your advice would you say then to young people? I mean, when you're in a group like this afternoon for the youth, it would be something that you would tell them that they should carry into life and magic?
Well, definitely believe in yourself. You can do absolutely anything that you want. If you want to make a living out of magic, you've got a hard road ahead of you, but it is definitely possible.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to performing, I give the same advice all the time. Go out there and get caught. The more you perform, the better you're going to become. And, you know, don't be afraid to take chances.
That's good. I like that get caught. You know, that was something Justin Flom was talking about, is develop content, you know, for YouTube and everything. You know, just have stuff that's out there all the time. So, you know, he's getting to be well-known, I mean, with millions of hits on his different...
Yeah.
videos that are out there, and I think that that's important so that way that you can get to be well known, you know.
Exactly.
Okay, as we wrap up, I think we've talked about this before because we've done some podcasts together, and since it's called the Magic Word, I don't know if you recall what your magic word was, or do you have a new magic word, something that you might use as a credo, or something that you believe in, that you would recommend? Or
the magic word that I've been using for the past 6 months or so is yes, we can, because I was working so hard to help get Obama reelected.
I was going to say, that sounds like
I was doing a lot of fundraisers for his campaign, volunteering quite a bit.
Did you work at an inaugural by chance?
I did. I did get a chance to work with the inauguration, along with 24 other of the world's finest magicians.
Yeah.
Those were air quotes. And it was a phenomenal time. I got a chance to meet Joe Biden. Tom Brokaw spoke at the event, and I got to perform for the, I think it was 23 Congressional Medal of Honor recipients and their friends and families. It was a great time.
Uh-huh. Right. That's great. Well, thank you very much. And so, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
That's good. Thank you very much. Well, Eric, appreciate you spending your time over here then on the Magic Word with us. And so there you go, guys. You said you asked for it, and you got it. There's Eric.
Yes, I can.
All right. For now, Scotty out. All right, bye.